Wouldn't we reconvene the hearing? And what's the development?
Good morning, yes. Sir, commissioners, I'm here more for housekeeping. And just by way of introduction, Mr. Reed, sitting in the middle, is the submitter, and intends to provide some readouts or something to evidence, which I've just handed up to you. And Mr. Skelton, whom you'll know, is also here to answer questions on his evidence. For your information, I have been involved advising Mr. Reed in the background and certainly involved in the resource consent process, working and advising the Department of Conservation and Mr. Reed. Just in terms of the documents that have been handed up, they are going to be referred to when Mr. Reed reads out his supplementary evidence, and we have just attached at the end of that, I think, given it an F, is an exhibit which is probably more appropriately attached to Mr. Skelton's original evidence, or he can confirm that he's prepared that. It is an attachment to the recently updated resource consent application and just outlines the area of existing rural residential zoning, with the exception of the, it also shows the piece of land which Mr. Reed is seeking rezoning. It might be helpful if you've got questions or when we went through anything.
Which attachment number is that, please?
F. The last one, hopefully.
The photo.
So just to confirm, all documents have been tabled by Mr. Reed, with the exception of F, which is Mr. Skelton.
What's F
look
like? Oh, it's got G on the top right, that's what confused me.
It's on the top
right.
So, commissioners, I'll hand over to Mr. Reed.
Yes. If you could just take us through your supplementary evidence, please, Mr. Reed.
Yes, thank you. My name is Donald John Stewart Reed, and I'm a director of Box Co Developments Limited. I confirm the following is true and correct. I have made a statement of evidence on this matter dated the 9th of June 2017. I've since read the planners' and consultants' reports, as well as having listened to the recordings of the earlier proceedings relating to my submission. I'd like to refer to plans A and B that we've handed up. The significance of plan A is that it's a blown-up version of the actual plan which was attached to the original exchange of land between our company and Her Majesty back in 1985. And the important thing to note there is that it shows the area of Moke Lake and the piece of land at in the reserve shaded red that we, the companies, transferred to the Crown for reserve. But the important matter is the where the road was shown on the plan. The parties at the time were using a plan like that, and they all thought that the land to the highway had been transferred to the Crown. That's an important point there. Good point. It's important also to note that the area of land marked block 5 in the mid block at the bottom, all the freehold land on that side of the road was also owned by Box Co Developments. It's shown on the second on plan B. So that the small area, that small triangle, really was, you can see how it was all contiguous with the other freehold land on the top side of the road. So that's what B is, the plan showing the land exchange plots, and also with the red outline around the freehold that was transferred to the Crown in the first exchange. So that's what those two are. Having listened to those recordings, I'm able to confirm that a revised resource consent application for the subdivision of the Bosco Preserve land was lodged with the Council on the 7th of July. This application is a joint application between the Department of Conservation and Bosco Developments. The subdivision consent is required before the land exchange can be implemented. The process required by the Crown for an exchange of land under Section 15 of the Reserves Act 1977 obliges the Crown to obtain valuations of the two parcels of land, approach the Otago and Southland Runanga, satisfy the terms of the agreement for disposal of Crown land with Ngāi Tahu, and to satisfy itself on matters of historic and ecological importance relating to the land being disposed. Actually, I should add archaeological, I think, as one of the reports that was done. All these consultations and investigations were thoroughly carried out, and the exchange was consequently given ministerial approval. As part of the terms of the agreement for the land exchange, Bob's Cove Developments is meeting all the costs of gaining approval to the Crown subdivision, and these costs to date have been considerable. Referring to some points raised in the recordings, there is no mistake in the rural residential zoning of the Bob's Cove Developments titled by the car park. The mistake I referred to is the location of the highway on the planning maps, including the current map 38 and the building restrictions shown thereon. So that plan and the map is still currently showing the highway in the wrong place. I have previously drawn up house plans for this piece of land, allowing for the various rural residential setback standards and the building line restrictions. I confirm there is sufficient area for a building development that could locate a house twice the size of my current chalet, Castle Hill Village. Referred to the photo, so the photo C, which I used really just to give an idea of the sort that the property can take a house of at least that size of that chalet. It is three-storied with at 8 metres high, being the same height restriction as the rural residential zoning. We are confident that the subdivision consent applied for by the Department of Conservation will be approved, and had expected this to have occurred before this rezoning hearing. If the rezoning occurs without the land swap, it would not matter, as the reserve status would not be revoked, and the land would remain in the ownership of the Crown as a reserve administered by the Department of Conservation. I'd like to make an observation on the ONL district-wide, which exists over the rural general reserve zoning of the Crown land. Had the original intention of the parties to the first land exchange transferred all the freehold land required to acquire the land between the foreshore reserve and the main road, the portion of Crown land now being transferred to Bosco Developments would have been zoned rural residential with no ONL designation. The current exchange agreement will correct all these zoning matters and also remove the building line anomaly, as it will have no effect once the triangle becomes reserved. Finally, I would like to address the concerns raised by Mr. Davis. I acknowledge the view of Mr. Davis that the regenerating native bush should be protected on the land being subdivided by DOC. However, this land has the same regenerating vegetation as the neighbouring Glen Tui Heights property zone rural residential, so I do not understand the need for this protection under these circumstances. It is not appropriate or necessary, and in any event, should be outweighed by the positive effects of the exchange. I've attached an old aerial photograph under D. And the purpose of that really is to show that this was taken after the clearing of bush was undertaken in the 1980s. And it shows that the bulk of the proposed dock lot was cleared of vegetation entirely, whereas the Bosco lot by the car park has undisturbed native red beech forest of immense value. So you can see how this And virtually, it was cleared completely at that time, so it's any regeneration has had to take place since late 1980s. I was encouraged to hear your comments in the recordings, picking up on the crucial point that one of the areas of land is going to be developed for rural residential purposes, and given that the Department of Conservation clearly preferred Bob's Cove land, was there not a possibility of a reverse outcome here, which would be a worse outcome? And the planner agreed, yes, it would be a worse outcome. Also, there is an area of 277 square metres that is to be planted in indigenous vegetation in an area currently largely covered in broom. And secondly, the comprehensive proposal prepared by Dawn Palmer of Natural Solutions for Nature Limited and known as the Vegetation Enhancement Implementation Plan for Bob's Cove Recreation Reserve, which will be carried out by the Bob's Cove Developments Limited and Glentui Heights Limited, the neighbour. I have a copy of this proposal available, and it's quite a comprehensive document that will become part of a land management plan between the company and the DOC. The land area of the VEIP enhancement in the reserve is at least 25,000 square metres. And these proposals, yes, there's a... The plan marked E sets out the areas of the reserve, A and B. A is to be looked after by Glentui and B by Bob's Cove Developments. That's the total area of reserve right to the foreshore, which will have weeds removed and indigenous vegetation replanted. These proposals for weed eradication and planting in the reserve will in themselves outweigh any adverse effects if the removal of an area of approximately 1,000 square metres within the building platform of the proposed lot. And overall, the conservation benefits are overwhelmingly positive, and that's why the Department of Conservation is keen to see the exchange of land proceed. Thank you.
And perhaps this is a question for Mr. Farrell rather than yourself, Mr. Reid, but you identified that map 38 is incorrect and that the setback from the road is actually the setback from the legal road but not the actual road.
There's a setback from a paper. Yes. Right, it's an unformed paper road. Well, yeah. When I say unformed, it's actually the car park.
Yes. Yes, I know where it is because I'm just wondering whether was there any scope in that submission to have that correction attended to in this process?
Not within the submission, but I did have a chat with Mr. Buxton, and I think it's in his 42A report that I think it could be a correction under this schedule 16B.
Clause 16.2.
16.2.
Picking up minor errors corrected.
And I think Mr. Buxton agreed with that or said that in his 42A report.
Okay.
And the basis for not including it in the submission is that it was going to revert back to reserve.
Some of it will anyway.
And it wouldn't matter anyway if it's in minor.
Well, could I add that, of course, the location of that restriction should be on the top side of the highway, on the other side of the road.
Yes, on the
other side. So there's still, even if this piece becomes reserved, there's still a deficiency.
Yes, that's what I was coming to. Just removing it isn't enough. You actually have to shift it
on the other side
to where the road really is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Is there any move to legalise that piece of road, or is it actually has been legalised as road?
That's an interesting point. I know we've had times where, close when we had new roads put in through freehold land, and then they subsequently made them legal, but I'm not sure what the status is of that.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Mountford.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions?
Not for Mr. Reid.
No, that was any question.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Skelton, there's a few questions. Really,
Mark, do you have any questions of Mr. Skelton?
Mr. Skelton, a fact checking at paragraph 10 of your evidence in chief about the areas of the two lots. There's a clear statement in that paragraph that both lots are equal areas, but in fact they're not in my looking at the subdivision. And I don't know whether it's material, but that'll be my next question. I think one of them is about 1900 and one of them is about 3400.
This is quite a bit of access that we access.
Yeah, as I understand, it's that strip that comes down, that narrow strip for the access.
You excluded that.
Well, I didn't intentionally exclude that, but that is.
That accounts for the difference.
Yes.
Okay, I was trying to understand what you meant there, that's good. In paragraph 14, the header for that is landscape quality in the character. Is there a reason why you put quality in there? Because
quality is a term that's used in the proposed district plan often, and quality to me is more of an environmental concern than it is an issue of character or amenity.
And the other one I wanted to check what you meant in paragraph 17 under visual amenity. There's a sentence that says the proposed extension to the rural residential zone will not increase the threshold of visual development as seen from any public plan. What is the threshold of visual development? What are you trying to tell us here?
Okay, I can explain this. If you refer to attachment A, and I have looked at the site repeatedly over many different stages, both in a car and walking.
Your attachment A.
Yeah, attachment A, my original evidence. So viewpoint one, shown there as you're coming around from Glenorchy. There's a point where you're driving from Glenorchy and everything's very natural. You come around that block and the road narrows to a one-lane road, and you don't see really any residential development at all until there's a single moment where you actually catch a glimpse through a break in the vegetation and you can see through to the rural residential zone. It was important to me because we were taking, the proposal was that the development would push a little bit farther to the south, that that would not bring that threshold of where you can see visual, see development, that it wouldn't push it back farther. It wouldn't increase that threshold of when it becomes visible. Also, concerning the Bob's Cove picnic point track, that there would be no point where you would just see that development in isolation, or that it would increase the threshold of visual development, being that where you can see something else that's already been built, that this would then push that back or increase it in any way along any point of that trail. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to
getting there.
To get my
and I also I also viewed from the lake to figure out what, because Southern Discovery's boats do come through there, and then they have a look at it to see if there was a point where you would see that this site in isolation from other sites. If there was any indication of
Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
No, I didn't have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No.
In that case, I'll do it with you. Now you can do it.
Do you need Johnson to download off the USB stick?